Magi who once traveled from a far-off place to visit the singing at the cradle of life. So those who you have loved have now come back to you in this very moment in the waiting room of life to hold your hand. So I might say, lift up your eyes, my friend, and look around. For lo, they are all here gathered together. On nurses' arms they have come to you. So let us indeed rejoice in this good news and sing a new song, for it is a new year. And yet, God's love is as it's always been, eternal, eternal. Amen. Or maybe if you were, say, curled up, stricken somewhere in the corner of a home for addiction and rehabilitation, I might say this morning that though thick darkness has covered the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, the Lord has indeed arisen and glory has finally appeared, and has appeared in none other than in the story of a birth, in the dawn of a new life. And it was at that birth and in that new life that a great, great moment of epiphany descended upon all the world, where the powers that control and govern the land were made to shake and tremble, for they knew that their time was finally at an end. So here, my friends, is a new king, whose first orders were none other than there was to restore the weakest of us, such that the lowest of us will be exalted, and the most troubled will be set easy, and all of our fears will be vanquished, now and forever. So let us all hail then the new king in whom God has been revealed, who has been made known to us to save us and set us free. And may we all be just that this year, renewed and freed from everything that holds us imprisoned. Thanks be to God. Amen. Or say, if I was in a different pulpit this morning, say somewhere like West Kensington, I might say, hear the good news. For God has disrupted the centralized powers through the dark-skinned Arab priests, distinct foreigners they were. God sent these, his messengers, not to worship the white Roman Caesar, but the humble Christ child, who today would be born and seen but as a Palestinian brown boy. And it was in that child that all courses of society would be upended and reversed, where suddenly the last would be made first, and the abundance of the farthest seas and the wealth of the greatest of nations would be brought to you, the disenfranchised, as just recompense. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, and amen. But mostly you are not those people. So what then do I say to a people like you? Like me? We are not of the lowest. We are not of the poorest. We are generally not of the oppressed, the afflicted, or the disenfranchised. What then is the gospel message this day to a people such as us? What is the good news of the birth of this child? Sometimes I think it might be easier to preach better, more powerful sermons if we all suffered a bit more. But acknowledging that's wrong to say, especially since some aren't have suffered here in these pews, and that suffering is not something I ever want to wish on any of you, or at least of all me, I take that back and I'll try a different approach. Let's start over altogether. So who made a New Year's resolution last night? I've got Bill Toffee, I've got Robbie, two people made New Year's resolutions, and I don't know why, maybe three. Presbyterian, you can raise your hand this morning, it's a new year. I got seven. Wow, so seven people made a New Year's resolution. Okay. I made a New Year's resolution. And it's kind of odd. I decided I would like to coin a new word for the Oxford English Dictionary. If they are allowed to get YOLO and bracketology in discovered gospel light is no longer in use. So moving on from gospel, I discovered that my New Year's resolution will instead be a submission for the word Bible-ish. Yes, Bible-ish. The great word of 2017, say it with me, Bible-ish. Bible-ish. It's fun to say. Oh, Lizzie, you're so Bible-ish. Eli, that was really Bible-ish of you. Bible-ish. It's going to catch on, and I'm going to spend the next couple minutes making it work. But what does it mean to be Bible-ish? Well, it's simple. It's an adjective, which means that one has displayed a great appreciation for the Bible, so much so that their daily behavior and thought processes reflect a great many, but not necessarily all, the teachings in the Bible. Bible-ish. Easy enough. Now, of course, it first requires a vague understanding of the Bible, which in and of itself requires you to actually read the Bible. But the ish part provides us with a range of possibilities. The ish, as in all words that are something-ish, allows the employer of this beautiful word an escape clause. Not to be too literalist in nature, where otherwise, in this case, would have required of us a strict adherence to every word in Scripture. Every word. No matter how demeaning, cruel, or bizarre the teaching. So being Bible-ish in 2017 is really quite freeing. But seriously, Bible-ish is not just a poor joke to wake you up in the middle of this sermon. I'm serious. My New Year's resolution is to be more Bible-ish, and I hope it will be yours as well. I sincerely want all of us to become more familiar with what's actually in our Holy Scripture, to actually read it as shocking as that is. I love my confirmation class. I love it to death. It's a bit shocking to me when ninth graders don't know who Noah is. We've got to read just a couple stories at least so we know what this is all about. And it's not just on Sundays where we read just the two lessons that we did here, but maybe like a book a month. From the visions of the prophets to the teachings of Christ, even to the revelation and veiled political polemic of John, I want us all to become a little bit more familiar with God's word and more, a living embodiment of its great many teachings on humility, sacrifice, and love. Honestly, one of the greatest steps along my journey of faith was just taken this past year when I had studied for the Bible content exam towards my ordination. I failed the first time. As did 72% of the rest of it. I failed. Someone has been with you for 7 years. I failed. So I decided to reread Scripture from front to back in 2 months. And it was the greatest thing I could ever do in my faith. I saw connections that I never saw before. Books and narratives wove themselves together in ways that I thought I understood, but I never did. This Bible is dead if we just listen to the two Scripture readings and go from there. I'm begging you, let us read it together. It will change your faith. Moreover, perhaps most of all, the best part about being Bible-ish and getting back into it is that you can become a certified fact checker in the process. For instance, I was recently asked by someone why men are generally the ones who are halos in the Bible. And now, having read the Bible, I can tell that halos are in fact in the Bible. So don't pay any worry to them. Likewise, when a confirmand just asked me, how was It's not even pastoral. Being a part of the story and reading Scripture, you know, I don't even tell people what is actually in the Word and what isn't. Being Bibleist, then, is the sharpest tool we have in this era of fake news and false prophets. And by actually reading it and doing so together, piece by piece, story by story, we here at PCCH can ensure that the gospel is being rightly disseminated, preached, and heard. And I'm not kidding about any of this. For just a month ago at Walking the Walk, it's this interfaith program that the confirmation class is involved in this year, we revisited that SEPTA scandal from just 2 years ago. Do you remember that scandal? No one? On the sides of buses and public transport, ads were taken out by a fundamentalist group from the South that pictured a prominent Arab leader having tea or coffee laughing with Adolf Hitler, coupled with false claims saying that the Quran promotes Jew hatred and violence against all Jewish Americans. This was driving around our city. Frightening stuff. False stuff. We cannot then, although in many ways we already have, allow our faith to be so misrepresented by those in positions of power and with the means of communication to do so. Rather, we must in 2017 combat any and all false representations of Christ. Wherever we see it and hear it, we must